Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome in to our audience in Richmond. They're with us for the next 3 hours on AM 910. FM 1051. Everybody else has been listening for the last hour on 106.7 The Fan. We're starting the day with a deep dive into what we perceive as the biggest sports story in the market today. The Caps and the Wizards arena deal to go to Virginia coming apart at the seams, it would appear. And you're saying it's dead or it's on life support. Eric Flack, investigative reporter, Channel 9, has been covering this every step of the way. How are you terming this?
Yeah, yesterday I was saying life support, but after hearing the governor talk today, I just don't see a path. That's what they talk about in politics. Like, what's the path? I don't see the path because the governor just said that he's not going to do these other political things, meaning give up on this, adding it to the budget, and send a different bill back. And if he's not going to do that, and he's counting on this senator from the Hampton Roads to just relent.
Just to change your mind?
It seems that's where I get zero chance, because I think there's zero chance that she is going to change her mind.
Well, she's sending a few memes still today.
She's going to be memeing for quite some time.
I think she's dug in pretty well on her stance at this point. Danny, the question we got, and we're going to take calls with Eric. We've got him for this final segment here, so if you guys want to ask questions of someone who doesn't have a bias and has covered it and talk to people on both sides, 800-636-1067. Somebody asked, though, about what's next for Leonsis, the possibility of going back to D.C. maybe, where your teams are still playing there. It's not like they packed up and right. You know, they've been a traveling roadshow for the last few months. But that is
Not playing home games at George Mason. Yeah. That is the quandary here, right? Because they've been running ads. If you try to watch the Wizards, you're going to see ads about how monumental an opportunity this is for Northern Virginia, for everybody, and how it's going to be great at Capital One Arena because the Mystics, who draw almost 5,000 a game, are going to have the rafters packed on the whole nine yards. They are pot committed to this, Eric.
Yeah, and I think the term putting the toothpaste back in the tube comes to mind. I mean, if in fact the Virginia deal falls apart, you have to really, if you're Ted Leonsis, for lack of a better term, stick your tail between your legs and go back to the mayor of Washington, D.C. and said, okay, I guess I'll take your $500 million after all, and let's be happy and put this deal back together. And that's going to be the most difficult and also fascinating part of what happens next.
So you don't think that he makes another run at Virginia later?
Well, the clause in his contract with the district allows him to get out of the lease in 2027. Not 2027 or later, 2027. The math on how long it's going to take to build this deal, even if they got approval right now, puts it at 2028 they open in, which means that they're still looking for a place to play in the 2027-2028 year for the Capitals and the Wizards. Their pitch is to have the mayor of D.C. under that scenario do them a solid, signed a one-year lease so they can have continuity between Capital One and then the new Potomac Yard Arena.
What's the argument? What,
They're going to run out of time. Where do they play?
Well, what's the benefit for the mayor? Just that that neighborhood benefits
for one more year? Yeah, you get more tax revenue. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. Like, she gets to enjoy one more year of incredible tax revenue from, you know, the teams bringing fans down here. Otherwise, they understand and have said, under the scenario where they need to, where they actually get this arena done in this session, that they're going to be looking for a place to play in that gap year. If they put this off another year and say, try again in next year's General Assembly, that means the whole timeline of the project gets pushed back another year. And now you're not looking at 1 year of gap time. You're looking at 2 years of gap time.
I just see stadiums and arenas getting built all the time everywhere.
Right.
You know, sports teams everywhere are just getting new places. They're moving out of cities. They're going to suburbs.
Right.
Some of them in the NBA, they're doing it in cities. But I guess my question is it this complicated everywhere?
Yeah, it is. Let me couch that. In Buffalo, it's not complicated because the bills are God, and everybody from lawmakers to the voters to the constituents.
They're wearing their bills ties to go vote.
So they're jumping through a table to say yes.
Exactly.
All in favor jump through a table.
Yes.
I just want to say go Josh Allen, and I'm voting yes.
So, yeah, but, I mean, you look out with what the A's are dealing with in Vegas trying to get an arena. They dealt with it out in Oakland trying to build a new stadium there. Other debates have gone on and on and on. So, yeah, in general, unless you have such a rabid fan base that is in line with subsidizing these sorts of deals, or you have Stan Kroenke, the Rams owner, who's willing to privately finance a $5 billion SoFi Stadium and not take a dime of taxpayer money.
That's the key. I mean, so that gets us back to what is, I think, what most of our listeners like addressing and talking about, which is, generally speaking, what we've heard from people is they don't want to help pay for it.
Right. And so if you're talking about 0% chance, back to her question, Danny, I guess the percent chance is that Leonsis decides to finance the whole thing by himself. Because I don't see that Luis Lucas is going to have a leg to stand on to say, we're not going to let you build here. I mean, there are some people who are concerned about the traffic and that sort of thing. But if you take the taxpayer money out of it, then I think there could be a path. But does he have the ability to do that, you know, or does he want to do that rather than staying at Capital One and taking $500 million for renovations there? I mean, you know, that remains to be seen.
That is a challenging path. Now, let's say I'm Dave Costco. It's not going to be the full 12 acres and every you know, office and this whole tax revenue scheme that was going to get kicked back to them. I mean, the entire thing was if you were a Monumental employee on that campus, some of your taxes are going to go right to them. New tickets, new everything. It's going to go to help pay for this thing. It was kind of a unique structure. So if I'm like Dave Costco and I want to open a new Costco there, I'm not going through these same hoops. That's any business can do that, whether it's approved or otherwise. You can get to that point. But to something on that grand of a scale, I don't know if anybody's been able to do that before, right? I mean, Kroenke building a stadium is unbelievable. Two teams play there. This is a different animal. This is every Panera, every Starbucks, every, you know, spot on campus there is sort of kicking back to the big guy. That's a different animal.
Well, I also think this is the next frontier. I mean, right where...
Yeah.
Owners forever, like, it was great to be in the city, but to some extent, post-pandemic, I saw some study where it's like 50% of the foot traffic in that neighborhood over there is not returned, or a number of offices, right? Cities have changed. Now, unless people are going back to the office, which it's been a few years. I mean, if you're not back, I'm not sure going back. I think the algorithm has changed a little bit. On top of that, your money used to be made on PSLs and on TV deals. No, RSNs.
Yep.
It's not anymore. So now the money is real estate deals. It's space. It's getting what Danny was just. It's all your finger in the pie of every, you know, deli and restaurant and bar that's right around there, which is why you're getting, what was it, 2 acres versus 12 acres?
It was 3 acres at Capital One. It's 12 acres at Potomac.
Yeah, it's a 4-to-1 opportunity. I mean, it's just a business deal. And that's, to me, that's where we're headed.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be getting these arenas and stadiums done where there's the most space possible.
Yeah. And not to take it too far away from this Leonsis deal, but Josh Harris kind of is following that philosophy in Philadelphia, where there is no taxpayer buy-in. I'm going to finance it, but I'm also going to build a business.
So is he,
entity.
He's paying for his entire arena
if it gets approved, but they're fighting that just because they don't want it in South. They don't want to leave South Philly, but he has a beautiful new downtown arena in Market East planned, state of the art. And part of the business model for him, his philosophy, their philosophy is you can win and we can win. We can all win together. I can make money, but you can also revitalize downtown. And that business model is based off of, I'm going to pay for this, but I'm also going to do it in a way where it's going to create retail. And I'm sure he has a hand in the buildings around it and that sort of thing.
Am I wrong about this? Either of you give me a thought on this. And if they can't get or don't want to have an arena, multiple sports, 41 home dates apiece, all the concerts and everything that's going to be coming there, how would Virginia get a? Why would they want a football stadium?
That's it. I think this kind of, the writing's on the wall when you're talking about a Commanders football stadium. I mean, at this point, I mean, he says he has a site selected in Virginia.
Would Lucas have anything to do with the football stadium?
It all depends on. There's going to have to be a stadium authority.
Yeah, it's the same procedure.
Exact procedure. I mean, what is in the budget is to create a stadium authority that allows the bonds to be sold to fund the stadium. So unless there's not going to be any sort of public money, and with a football stadium, that's hard for even Josh Harris.
Yeah.
There's got to be an arena. There's got to be a stadium authority, which means we're going to have this entire debate all over again.
So she'll just scribble out Ted's name and put Josh's name
unless
on the
he does it differently. Unless he does it differently. Unless he – maybe there are lessons
to
be learned.
I got to imagine they're sitting back going, okay, remember to talk to her early and underline.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, sure, they're taking notes.
They have a meeting on the books for tomorrow.
Exactly.
With Senator Lucas.
Mitch, do me a favor. Can you call Louise Lucas?
What do you think his pitch is?
Hey.
I really don't want to be memed.
Whatever you want, we'll do that.
Let's go to Bill in Alexandria on Grant and Danny. Has a question for Eric. What's up, Bill?
Yeah, hey, I'm enjoying the show. I just have a quick comment and a question. I'm just astonished that Ted Lyons has approached this in such a I thought he would be more politically savvy, and you know, because I worked as a lobbyist, so I know about back end negotiations and all that. So I'm just surprised that they didn't touch base with this woman or whoever this person is beforehand, so that this wouldn't be an issue for now. But my question is, and nobody's really brought this up yet, but what do you think about the wild possibility that at some point down the road, 4 or 5 years, that, you know, Lyons could pack up and move both the teams? I mean, nobody thought Bob Irsay would take the Colts and move them to Indianapolis. Nobody thought Art Modell would, you know, take the Browns and move them to Baltimore. I mean, things like this happen. So, I think that's a something that he has to be looking at if he doesn't get what he wants, or if he can't finance a stadium to, you know, out of his own pocket. I really think that's a possibility that should be.
And people aren't talking about it.
Well, do you think that's possible?
I mean, I do.
Possible is the wrong word. Of course, it's possible. The likeliness to me is 1%.
Wouldn't the NBA have to sign off on that too? I mean, I don't.
Well, I'm sure there'd be you know, red tape to get through, whatever that you want to call it, but they don't want this precedent. They don't want leagues. Don't want municipalities to say no to them.
Right.
Like that's a non-starter. Like we cannot have that. What, you know, one you know, state or one local government stands up and says, we ain't paying for your stadium. And the next one goes, yeah, we're not paying neither. Next thing you know, you got a wave of it across the country, and now it's these guys having to dig into their own pockets. I don't think the NBA wants that. I'm sure the NHL didn't want it. So I do see it as a possibility. I'm not thrilled about that, but I think it's on the table.
How many of the owners that move from the place that they're from? Probably not many, I wouldn't think.
It's just what is unknown at this point is the collateral damage of all of this. If, in fact, this deal falls apart, where does everybody go from here?
Also, you've got – this is actually one of those teams owned with Ted Leonsis. He's got a son who's involved in Zach. Who is plugged in and their day-to-day is high up at Monumental. But unlike whether it's the Lerners or some of these other situations where, like, the dad owned it, but the family may not, it's pretty much lined up where you know Zach's been around. I met the kid when I was 10 years old. Mm. So was he. And we were in the Capitals locker room after Jaromir Jagr scored two goals. You know, like, he has been around. He loves the teams. He's sitting courtside at Wizards games. I don't get the sense that for them it's just a business where they own teams and where it is doesn't matter. I mean, this is home for them. Mark's in Largo. What's up, Mark?
Hey, I got a question. This has been, since the 90s, this has been like the third or fourth time that a franchise has gone to Virginia and it's been killed.
That's true.
That is true.
My question is, and this is not Youngkin's fault, if governors had more than just one term in the state of Virginia, would they have more power to combat the House and the Senate?
I guess, good question, bud. Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know that those two things are necessarily connected. I don't know. Certainly, the governor could build power over time if he had a second term. But remember, I mean, again, we're going down a political road. In the last election cycle, they lost control of the legislature. So he kind of lost.
They meaning Youngkin.
The Republicans right. lost. And so that kind of plays a role now. But he had built coalitions on this deal.
Correct me if I'm wrong. And again, everyone's just going to have to put their big boy and big girl pants on.
Okay, here we go. Come on, Grant. You can do it.
We can do this, right? We got this. Nobody yell at anybody. I was reading last night that Youngkin gave a speech at some point semi-recently.
Yes.
That, like, infuriated
yes.
Democratic senators.
Played a huge role in
where
this.
Where he basically told them all, like,
you're not
kick
for
rocks.
America.
You yes. guys are the worst.
Yeah.
And why would he have done that?
It was a terrible political misstep.
In the middle of this, you're trying to get a stadium, dude.
It was
what are you doing?
One of the, this is just facts. It was just one of the most poorly calculated moves when you have a democratically controlled House and a democratically controlled Senate, and you're in the middle of an arena struggle, and there's already starting to be the Senator Lucases of the world coming forward and saying, I'm not sure about this. And then you give a speech in which you say Democrats are awful. That was, in many people's eyes, the turning point. Where it went from, I'm not so sure about this, we're going to need to really talk about this, or I'm really going to need some concessions, to, I don't think we want to do this.
Yeah, we're not working with you.
Did Lucas wanted toll relief? She got that.
She got more than she asked for.
Because originally she said, I'm not doing this, I want toll relief.
Yes, she said, I'm not really, I'd be, she used choice language, but I would be silly to consider this without getting something from my community, which is toll relief. And then he gave her more than she asked for. But at that point, it was too late. The speech had been done. She had dug in. She had started posting.
She'd already finished memes. Photoshopping the meme.
Like, someone has to do those memes. Get them out there.
Exactly.
Eric's in D.C. I like exactly.
Yeah.
Eric's on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, buddy.
I have two questions. I want to know, is there a plan B location for the stadium? I know at one point with the Commanders, they were talking about a spot over there across from the MGM with Governor Hogan at the time. And two, I want to know a wild scenario. Would they ever think about doing a joint venture with the Commanders and making one big mega sports complex?
Whoa.
That would take Ted Leonsis and Josh Harris coming together with the business deal of a century. To your first question, so no, I think all these owners kind of want their own stamp. They want their own vision, and there is the space issue. But
they
can't
even get an arena, their own
deals. They can't even get their own deals done.
Getting one together.
Can we have a practice facility close to where you play? Nope. Sorry, I asked. Sorry, my fault.
To your first question, that site you're talking about in Maryland has been kicked around a lot.
What site is it?
It's near the National Harbor.
Okay.
There's a site over there. It's federal land. It was the Commanders kicked the tires on it for their stadium as well, like an alternative Maryland location, and it was like more problematic. And you would need they would have to go through the same thing they're going through in D.C. trying to get control of the federal land. They would need to do it again only in Maryland. So I think they thought that was kind of a non-starter in Maryland.
How about this question? Alex is in Wheaton on Grant and Tanny. Wants to talk about maybe how they could fund it. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. I always found it curious. You know, we haven't talked about this in a long time, but the Qatari Sovereign Wealth Fund, what were they investing in? Were they investing in staying in D.C. and trying to maintain a regional sports network? Or was this already in the works and part of the reason why they made the investment they did? And what role could they play going forward?
I'm stumped on that.
So here, now, this is not from an educated place. I'm going to do my best here. I'm going to see what you guys think of it.
This is less the investigative journalist. This is more the Grant and Danny.
This is old Randy Duhier here, all right? I do not speak for Eric Flack on this. So what we've heard, and you can tell me if I'm wrong about this, Eric, is that eventually Monumental wants to go public.
Yes.
They're going to IPO.
Okay,
and they're going to do an initial public offering. This is was an intermediary step, kind of a cash injection, giving away some value of Monumental. But as a way, it was thought, at least at one point, to maybe assist with Monumental acquiring the Nationals, who are now no longer for sale. But a cash injection is always welcome, right? We always need that, whether it's for payroll, operating costs, expansion, new projects, whatever, that's normal. That faucet it's got some pretty good water pressure, right? That Qatari Wealth Investment Fund, if they so choose to tap into it. That, in my mind, that could absolutely be the vehicle to kind of circumvent all this and have a private build of that, with maybe potentially giving away more if it times up with the IPO.
And that's the X factor I think we were talking about earlier, is there a path, break glass in case of emergency that the Leonsis team has in its back pocket, a Monumental, which is, what happens if we have to pay for this ourselves? Do we have a path to pay for it? We're not going to tell anybody because then they're never going to give us the money. But do we have a plan to not go back to the district?
Like, think about, you watch Shark Tank, right? Think about when a guy goes in front of Shark Tank and all the talking to the sharks. What are you going to use the money for? He's like, to lower our costs, to build a new shipping channel. This should be to build a new stadium in a place that doesn't really seem to want us all of a sudden, right? But that's what that is.
Looking up some quotes from Leonsis when the deal was announced, he said, it's an ideal business relationship about the Qatari Fund. No influence on Monumental's teams. I don't view QIA as partners. I view them as investors. I'm aligned with their investment philosophy, which is, we believe in you, Ted, and Monumental. We're your fiduciary to all of your partners to do the right things in the right way, and we are not involved. Says he wasn't concerned about backlash. When I heard, oh, you're sports washing, I said, well, that's going to be pretty hard to do when we don't talk about QIA, and QIA can't talk about their investment in our teams. Let's go to Steve in Spotsylvania. What's up, Steve? How are you?
Good afternoon. Great show, as always.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
I, as a political wonk and a hockey fan, I have been following this very closely. And you guys actually stole my thunder a little bit. I don't know why people aren't really seeing that this isn't a Ted problem. Ted's only problem is that he got in bed with Glenn, and Glenn led him to where they are today by not being willing to be politic with Virginia politicians. As far as I'm concerned, this is really all about hand washing and sharing revenue. I understand that Youngkin came back and gave her more than she wanted, but I still believe that there's a way to do this without the budget process, right? Virginia could still fund this at some point, a special session, or not a special session, but a special bill that they could do to where they could mysteriously find the money.
So let me tag Eric in on that, because you would have the insight on that.
Yeah, that's all true, except that the governor today indicated he wasn't going to do that. So that is absolutely...
Why would that be? Do they not have the votes?
They might not have the votes. They might not have the votes. Again,
then
keep in mind...
Should we even care that Luis Lucas is... put a stop to it and memeing everything.
Because you wouldn't have had to have the full vote because of the way they attached it to a budget. A budget is just up or down.
Got it.
It's a small group of 10 lawmakers, six delegates, six senators. Now you're talking about having to pass the House, which it would, 100.
88
or so.
To 12. It already
So it passed. But could you get it through the Senate? You're only talking about 40 votes there. And again, you know, Democrats, I've been told by staff members today, would need Youngkin to make a deal with labor to, and this is really getting political, but Virginia's right-to-work state, meaning no unions, meaning the AFL-CIO and all the unions came out against this deal, and you would have to get them on your side, cut a deal, which is anti what his philosophy is, to bring them to the table to then ask these Democrats to support it. So it would be a bridge too far, is the bottom line, to go that route.
All right, one more call because we got to let you go get a live shot.
Yeah, got a live shot.
You got to do that job.
I got to do the other.
You
got to
do your job.
Do your actual job and not sit in here with us. Although the amount of money we're paying you, you're going to be.
Oh
really,
my gosh,
it's an amazing amount.
The Uber Black,
the Granddaddy Investment
right now.
Fund. Yeah.
it's a little different. It's a little different than the other one. Bobby's in Mechanicsville. Bobby, you get the last question of the award-winning journalist Eric Flack joining us here. What's up?
Hi, Eric.
Hey.
My question was simple. If Terry McAuliffe was governor instead of Glenn Youngkin, Louise Lucas would probably be leading the charge for the move. That's my opinion. I'd ask yours.
I think there's no doubt that politics has played a role in all of this. I think that he had built a coalition, including Democrats, on his side in the House. He failed to do so in the Senate, and then only poured salt into his own wound by some of his political missteps that galvanized this one senator to say, not on my watch, basically.
Great information. Good insight. We needed to bring in a grown-up to help us.
Hey, thanks.
So I'm glad that you answered that.
And you were
that.
Available, Eric. I love that.
I was the third call, but that's okay.
I'm glad you answered the phone for us. Now, we appreciate you as always, buddy. Good right. Seeing you. Next time I see you, we'll be over probably at Walters getting ready for a Nats game.
Absolutely. I can't wait.
And I think we got through this, didn't we?
Everyone's okay?
Everyone's fine?
We're good?
Did we do okay? It?
I mean, I got a sniffle, but that's unrelated.
Sports next? Do you want to do some like on-the-field stuff?
Please.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Double play at 3:45 in about 12 minutes, and our Beltway Blitz at 4 coming up in a half hour. Grant and Danny back in D.C. from our travels to West Palm Beach. Speaking of the Nationals, Mackenzie Gore going to be on the show at 5 o'clock, the power lefty. Nats are hoping he takes a big step forward. Former top 5 pick with the Padres, one of the centerpieces who came over to the Nats in the Juan Soto deal. Gore, I thought last year, really established himself, taking the ball every 5 days, middle of the rotation type starter, but he's got the best stuff in the rotation, the highest ceiling.
Clearly.
With all due respect to my guy, JoJo Gray, who's probably my favorite player on the team at this point, certainly my favorite interview. Mackenzie Gore, probably, if you're telling me someone's going to become an ace and a perennial all-star type, has the best chance of becoming that arm for the Nationals and their organization.
You
right
certainly
now.
Saw moments. There were some of those innings where you go, that's just different, right? Now, the overall numbers don't they kind of belie that. ERA in the mid-4s, the walks are too high, too many bad counts, too many 2-3 ball counts, not going deep enough into games, etc. But there are times when he's as locked in, he's as competitive as they come, he's, a bit of a jerk on game day, which is what you want, honestly, in your frontline starting pitchers. He's got it. He's got a chance. This is the year maybe he takes a big step forward.
I saw Ben Standing tweet this question. I thought this would be good for you and I to banter about. He says, of the Commander's free agents at these projected contracts, who would you most want to re-sign? Jacoby Brissett, 1 year, $9 million. Cam Curl, 3 years and about $32 million. Cornelius Lucas, swing tackle, 2 years, $10 million. Curtis Samuel, who was arguably their most consistent wide receiver and best weapon at wide receiver last year, 2 for $17 million. Of those four at those rates, who are you keeping?
Probably none of them, but for the purposes of the exercise, I might go Lucas. Just because I don't feel great about that position because they've created so much work for themselves there. And I would do the same thing, by the way. But you've got a big shopping list at offensive line. You could do a lot worse than having that guy as your swing tackle. So that's kind of my safety net there. When I go and get a new left tackle, which they now have to do after moving on from Leno, probably a new left guard, probably a new right tackle, though, maybe not. I would bring Lucas back as my swing guy.
Offensive tackle is probably the worst position on their roster right now in terms of depth and, the quality of the players that you have. Maybe defensive end, They've got a lot more backup types at defensive end. You think about James Smith Williams, KC Tuhill, KJ Henry, F.A. Obada, Jalen Harris, Andre Jones, although Tuhill, Obada, and Smith Williams are all set to hit the market here soon. So when you take them out of the equation, it's basically KJ Henry and Andre Jones. So maybe that gives, honestly, the defensive end might give offensive tackle a run for its money in terms of the worst built, least established player group of any room that they've got right now. I'm still going to say if I could keep one of those guys at the contract that he drew up, I'd probably go with Jacoby Brissett at 1 year and $9 million. I especially if I'm drafting a kid, I love the idea of having him in the room. Now I'm three deep at quarterback.
And then Howell's your kind of third string type dude, or I mean, maybe Brissett is.
Sam would probably be my two, to be honest.
Okay.
And Jacoby would be my three, and I'm just paying him a lot more than, you know, he would make more than the other two combined.
But he's like almost an assistant coach. Yeah, player coach.
I mean, it's him and David Blau and Tavita Pritchard. Those are the quarterback's coaches. I really like Brissett. I think he can play in a pinch, and I think he's an awesome teammate. I think he's a really good dude. If not him, then I would go with Curl at 3-32. I think that's a market that's suppressed. That number's less than I kind of expected he was going to get. If you can get him down around $10 million, that's a fine value. I just have a hard time believing he's going to break the bank. He's never made a Pro Bowl. He doesn't generate any takeaways. I think there's guys like that around the league.
And all of a sudden, safety's crowded.
But in Washington, we talk about Cam Curl like he's a superstar. He's really, really good. I just think a lot of teams have their own Cam Curls that are good in the box, get guys on the ground, play pretty well. But if you're looking for the game-changing plays, they're just not as prevalent with him.
And I wonder if he's got more of that in the tank, and it's just sort of been scheme, design, covering for linebackers who haven't been as good. I mean, there's so much you never know, right? He could go somewhere else and put up great numbers like Carlos Rogers did when he left here. Not the same position, but you know what I mean. So I am now of the I don't want to pay market value for him. And I know that's different than what I said a handful of months ago during the season when this kind of came up and a potential for an extension for him. Now it's a totally new regime. They've already shown you they got a lot of confidence to find the next Leno, to find the next Kendall Fuller, the next position where they're going. We're going, hey, you got a need here. You got a need here. Not only do they know, but they feel pretty comfortable they'll be able to. I'm now to the point where I'd rather find my, if it's a free agent, that $4 to $5 million range safety that they know is going to fit in their scheme better. Or a guy that they draft, give more opportunity to guys like Derek Forrest Percy Butler, kind of waiting in the wings. So I'd probably rather not do that. But again, you can't really go wrong bringing good football players back to your team.
Standing of the Athletic came out with a mock draft today. It was a Commanders only mock, which was cool, where he just kind of took every single pick and grabbed a guy that might be there at that spot that would make sense. He went Jaden Daniels over Drake May at 2. His alternate pick was May. At 36, he went offensive tackle, and at 40, he went with a edge. So those are the two needs other than quarterback we just talked about. Two biggest needs that they have, and my guess is they're going to address both of them in some capacity in free agency. But you go quarterback at 2, and then interchangeably however you want to, get a pass rusher and get an offensive tackle at 36 and 40. Then you probably need to come back and find a weapon, tight end or wide receiver, with one of those other picks in the top 102, ideally. And he ended up having them take their first receiver in the fourth round, Brendan Rice, the wideout out of USC. But you'll want to surround, whether it's Daniels or it's May, that young quarterback with the most weaponry and help possible so that they can succeed. Our double play is next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Zach Ertz was on ESPN today. He was asked why he wanted to sign in Washington. I loved his answer. We'll play it for you at 4:25. Time for our double play, though, right now, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Rugged and capable.
Rugged and capable.
I like that. I hope one day someone says, what do you think of him? And they go, he's rugged and capable.
Wasn't that from the review that you got for our Airbnb? That Grant Paulson, he's rugged and capable. He's welcome anytime.
They did say welcome anytime. I got another note last night.
Really?
From the lady at the Airbnb.
Oh.
And she said, and I quote, my house is your house, which seemed weird. It was very nice.
Right. It's not.
Like, look us up. Exactly. I was like, really?
But thank you.
That seems aggressive. But she's like, yeah, if you guys are back in town, look us up again. My house is your house. Okay.
That's very nice.
Is that, we could just start sharing it all the time?
She was like, great cannonball contest, by the way.
Wednesday night, I'd like the house. Can I have the house? Our house is, it's
didn't
your
you
house.
Just say it? You told me it's my house.
It's also my house.
You said
right?
that. So, folks, this is a unique how much weight did Danny gain.
Are we playing that right now?
I think we should play it.
Oh, okay.
You want to play it?
No, I absolutely do. I wasn't prepared. Game show music, please, Darius.
Now, this is unique because Grant, Darius, and Ryan all were there. There's nothing that I ate that you guys didn't see.
It's a great point.
So you can ask whatever questions you want to ask.
You didn't do that badly.
You guys saw it.
In terms of food.
You saw everything.
You weighed yourself when?
The afternoon before I left, so Sunday, before I left for my flight on Sunday night.
Okay.
And then once I got home last night, so Wednesday night. So I had a strenuous workout with Ryan. You guys witnessed it, right? You saw it.
You guys did one great workout.
We had a hit workout on our quote-unquote off day where we couldn't go to Nats Park because no one was there, and so we just did the show from the house. We had the cannonball contest later, so on and so forth.
That was a workout that Grant and I did prior to you guys.
You guys had already done it, obviously. Yes. Right. I wasn't accusing anyone of not doing it.
Darius and I like doing it before the sun rises. Yeah. You guys like the sun to beat down on you, as we found out.
Wake up before the sun does is the motto of both of my gentlemen friends there. Yes, Grant.
Sunday evening, all day Monday, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday. 3 days.
3.5 days, yeah, ish, right?
Plus a night.
No meals really Sunday. I guess I had food at the airport on Sunday night before I flew out.
What'd you eat at the airport? We didn't
I had a burrito. I had a burrito.
You got things started the right way.
Yeah. Any questions, Bruce?
Well, I just think we need to give our listening audience a little idea. So, Sunday, you had a burrito at the airport. Didn't really eat when you got to the house.
That's right. Just went right to bed. It was late.
Monday, we got a giant breakfast at Cracker Barrel.
Yep.
You ate?
I had the biscuits and gravy, biscuit Benny meal, a side of pancakes. My sides for the biscuit Benny meal were grits and the hash brown casserole, plus several of the biscuits that come to the table.
You didn't snack much Monday, I don't think.
Only snacks were, I think I had like one protein bar kind of a thing.
Okay.
And then we had dinner.
Nothing major.
Nothing major, yeah.
Monday night, where did we eat dinner that first night? That was City Cellar.
That was City Cellar.
So you had some kind of pasta.
Yes. I had a pasta. I believe it was a Kate Cavalli or a cavatelli, if you
but
will.
But you did help a lot on the order.
You saw me on the appies. I went hard.
That was fried calamari.
Yep.
Meatballs. Brussels sprouts, but not the healthy kind.
Yep.
Okay. So it was just a big giant
meal. I had the giant cake. If I could say that.
Oh, that's right.
The giant cake.
He had a piece of cake.
Nobody else was eating dessert.
Yeah.
And I ate it.
We all tapped out and said no dessert for us, and Danny just got a giant.
You guys, we can't eat another bite. Went and got ice cream.
All right.
Tuesday, we got those subs delivered to the house.
The royal subs.
Yeah. Royal
subs. Was that the first thing you ate on Tuesday? Broke your fast with the sub?
I made us go to that little market in the morning. We walked, got our steps in. I had like a protein bar from there.
Okay.
And then I had the sub.
We walked down the street to the worst little gas station in America, by the way. We never talked about
it. It's not
that.
The best.
Then you had a sub. Tuesday night was Grotto Italian?
Correct, yes.
Tuesday night was Grotto, yeah.
You ate?
Again, a giant thing of pasta.
Yeah.
With a bunch of appies.
Okay. And then Wednesday we flew back.
Wednesday we flew back.
Giant Cracker Barrel breakfast slash lunch. Did you eat anything at the airport?
Yes, I had a sandwich. I had an Italian sandwich at whatever the little shop, little sandwich shop there.
Okay. That's pretty much everything you
pretty
ate.
Pretty much ate, yeah, that's it.
You had one workout, and otherwise, just normal walking around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did see a bag of chips, I believe.
That's right. That is a fair question. I had a Harvest cheddar, what do you call those? The Sun Chips.
Now,
Sun Chip.
Now, did you take...
For dinner on last night at the
airport. There was never any alcohol.
No.
There was never any, really...
No soda.
No liquid calories.
It's all iced tea with a little lemon squeeze.
Yeah.
Water.
Now, did you take the free snacks on the plane last night?
I did. I had plantain chips. Another great question by you.
Okay.
I did.
Both ways, by the way. Turned down all the plane stuff.
Crazy.
Just say I'm good. Thanks. All right, Danny. 3 days is really all we're talking about.
That's all we're talking
about.
Three
and a half days. Let's say, I'm going to say you gained 7.8 pounds.
Okay, GP's in for 7.8.
I, Darius Dameron, will go with, I'm going a little lower. Let's go with 6.1 pounds.
6.1 for Darius.
Good number, Darius.
Good number there. That's a good guess.
I got a little bit of a higher number here. I'm going to go 10.5 pounds.
Wow.
10.5 pounds on the nose.
I mean, you saw me. Did I? Okay. When I departed, that's 221.4. That is 221.4. When I returned, 229.1, a difference of 7.7 pounds. Grant off by 0.1 pound.
Let's go.
That is the guess of the century right there. You win both showcases. Well done.
That.
Well done.
Wow.
That's just eating what I wanted three times over the course of 3 days. I gained 7.7 pounds.
For 3 days, not three times. I would say six times. Right? You did breakfast and
so
lunch.
So four meals. Four meals, yeah. I ate what, quote, unquote, whatever I wanted. Two times a Cracker Barrel and two dinners. Other than that, it was very healthy, normal, boring stuff. We're
so
fasting.
7.7.
Looking for 7.7.
Does that
there.
Break your record for pounds per day? I don't think it would.
No. It doesn't. New Orleans was north of, it was almost 5 pounds per day.
But this, okay, so this, we have a bunch of stat categories for Danny, one of which is pounds per day. This was 2.6 pounds per day.
That's right.
That's not a bad little number.
It's not good.
That might get a podium for you. I think the lack of exercise might have gotten to everybody, including myself. What I mean by that is, on a normal day, I just walk more than, like, we would get to the clubhouse, then we would be in our little room for the rest of the day, pretty much. There was not really a whole lot of movement, I didn't think.
We were pretty static there, yeah.
We're playing Xbox, or well, it was worse, it was PlayStation.
But, how dare you?
Well, it just should have been Xbox.
Whoa, that is not the policy of the Grant Nanny Show.
Do you agree? We were very sedentary in our lifestyle.
Extremely sedentary. That's why Ryan and I did our HIIT workout. I mean, you guys did it first, obviously, but that's why we did our workout.
Needed to do a couple of them.
Apparently. Good Lord. Should have done 3 days.
7.7, though. I think that's fine.
Is it, though?
I think so. I think give it 2 days, you're only going to be up like 2.5 pounds.
I don't know.
That weight will fall right off. That's water weight.
It doesn't fall off this guy. I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror on the way to the shower when I got home last night, and I went, oh, no.
Did you look different?
Yeah.
How?
Fatter.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're doing a graph of like a before
specific.
And after, yeah, I was fatter and was really in the middle, right in the middle of my person. Like, there's more of you there, fatty.
We slept on the amount of biscuits that you consume.
Thank you, Darius.
At country, what's it called? Cracker
Barrel. Cracker Barrel.
That was an impressive amount of biscuits you consumed.
That's a lot of biscuits.
I love them.
I just, my favorite is, it's all the plates in front of them. Like, there's, because in fairness, they bring out, like, the sausage. There's two little sausage pucks. They're on their own plate. Two little strips of bacon. They get their own plate. But Danny's just got, it's like a little solar system. He's got his main dish, and then, like, 11 little,
I got the savories on a plate, right? There's your eggs, your sausage, your bakey. Then the grits need its own little carousel or its own little ramekin, whatever type, little small bowl. Yeah. Then you get your sweets, right? You get your pancakes, your waffle. Then the you can't just mix in the biscuit if you're going jelly on one, because I'm going to have one with its gravy. The gravy one can go back on the one with the eggs and the biscuit and the sausage. The one with jelly cannot touch the savory, because that's now a sweet biscuit. You see what I'm saying? So you need a different plate for that.
Beltway Blitz comes your way next. We got Mackenzie Gore on the show at 5 o'clock today on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.